Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. So I don't know if there's a place that you want to start, or it doesn't even have to be from these questions. Like, if there's just a particular topic that you feel like men really need to, you know about women, then we can start there too. Mm-hmm. It's freedom.
Oh man, I have so many thoughts. That's the thing.
Just pick one.
Yeah. I mean, I think what really stood out to me in the questions, just as a theme, and even I found myself like being like, yes, what I said earlier, is just, I don't even know how to like open up this topic, but I know I have a lot of thoughts about it in general. I think there are too many assumptions out there. Mm. I think that people I see in Facebook groups or on the apps, they're stating exactly who they are or exactly what they're looking at. They're looking to order up a woman from Amazon. And just looking for all these check boxes. And I just don't think we should be dating like that. Mm. And I have so many thoughts on that. So many thoughts on that for a variety of reasons. And under that falls a variety of different topics too.
But yeah, that is such a great topic. And that is not one that I've jumped into yet. So let's go there. Because I want to know what that looks like to you if we're not checkboxing it, you know, let's just start there. Like, what does that look like to you if it's not a big checklist?
Yeah. Well, I'll probably end up sharing a bit of my story for context, but I'm 45 years old, never expected to not be married and not have a family of my own by now. Mm. People asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a soccer mom. That's the only thing I ever aspired to. And there's a lot of layers underneath that desire, underneath where I'm at right now in my life, underneath what the future looks like. It's complex. So with that said, I get a little tired in Christian circles of people saying, well, have you ever tried or thought about trying a dating app? Let me encourage you to do that. And I'm like, you have no idea. I have been on dating apps since before they were dating apps, back when they were websites. Mm-hmm. I did the whole thing and, you know, emailed guys back and forth. This was before the internet, really. This was back when email was just a thing, you know? A couple of my roommates that I was living with in my early 20s, they met their husbands that way. They had a friend and I liked him. And we didn't hit it off and whatever, that is what it is. But I get a little bit tired of just people saying like the formula, here's how, are you sure? Are you doing anything to meet someone? Like I have literally probably done everything that I could to meet someone. And I think I'm a great person. I have so many friends. I have a really rich life. I just love people and I love the Lord and I love the body of Christ. And I feel like I'm healthy. At least my counselor says that I am. Friends at church say that I am. But over the years we'll call them dating apps now, even though they weren't back then, they've sort of evolved into this thing where we swipe and then less and less and less is listed on our profiles.
Yes.
And that doesn't help anyone. And if I see a guy's profile on a dating app that says, does anybody even read these? And then he puts nothing else. I'm like, well, you obviously don't read mine. So no.
Yeah.
Because I put something on my profile so someone will have something to reach out to me about and maybe start a conversation. That's it. But I think it's just I would say devolved into just like, do I like the look of that person? Oh, wait, maybe there's someone that I will like even more. And then like, it's become gamified. I don't know if you're aware of like, you know, the technology world and gamification. It's, you probably deal with it in education even some, but our brains and our minds just get addicted to this gamification of different things technologically, on apps, on our phones, basically, that just sort of keep us sucked in and playing the game. And as much as people don't want to be playing games with dating, it feels like you are when you're just swiping or hearting or whatever you're doing. So I started noticing probably in my mid 30s that I was getting less and less and less like attention on the apps. Again, people are like, oh, have you ever thought about paying for that? I'm like, you have no idea. I've given all the apps all my money. I have not tried Farmers Only. I will say that's like one I haven't tried. But I feel like I have tried literally all the apps that are out there, and like new ones have come around in the past few years. Yes, I've tried all those too. I haven't been brave enough to try. There's one video one right now, but I'm like, who looks amazing on video? Like,
yeah,
it's a lot of pressure right there. So I just don't want to do that one. So I think I started sensing in my mid 30s that, yeah, just less and less attention was coming my way. And I mean, that could be for a variety of reasons, but I had a feeling it's about my age, and especially men that I know that are my age are maybe a little bit younger or a little bit older. I found them saying, and me overhearing oftentimes, that they're looking for a woman in their mid 20s or early 30s. And I'm like, but why? Also, do you know that I'm standing right here? Like, it hurts me when you say that, because you've just devalued me as a human as well as a woman. And is this for biology? Is this because you want to have kids? Like, there's just a lot of assumptions that go on when men say, I want a woman between these ages. And I don't even care what the range is. But when you say that, it's potentially, I don't know, you're just not, you're missing out on some people that, I don't know, you might find interesting. You might find a new best friend out of that. You might find, I don't know, again, like someone that you're going to work with one day, a friendship through church, that maybe that's how you'll meet your person. I don't know. We're missing out on a lot. So age became kind of one of those things that I became pretty sensitive about. And so probably for about the past 10 years, yes, I was still on the apps, but on like online in, you know, Facebook groups for Christian singles, like many of us are a part of, I avoided putting my age because I come off as probably 10 to 15 years younger. And I just don't like the judgment or the assumptions that come with needing to know someone's age quickly. So I would say, yeah, age is another thing. And if someone just is dying to have kids, even like when I was in my early 40s, even I sometimes tell my friends, I'm like, you don't know women's biology. Come on now. There's plenty of healthy women out there in their early, my aunt even had her last son, my cousin, at like in her mid 40s. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of assumptions happening there, and a lot of misinformation. And granted, I don't think men think that we're also potentially giving up on a dream as we age. Like, it was always my dream, like I said, to be a soccer mom, to mother children of my own and stay home with them. It's not what God had for me. And that's incredibly painful. And I'm okay with it now, but it's because I've been processing it. But I mean, it's still going to come up again. Like, at any point in time in the wrong conversation, I will avoid it. I was recently at a gathering for a Friendsgiving, and it kind of came up in a group of Christian singles, and my stomach was really upset. And I just like went and did the dishes that needed to be done, because there were some really, really hurtful things that were being slung around. That are essentially, I believe, people's preferences. Because I mean, who's to say that you get married in your 20s or 30s and then one of you, like, maybe you can't have children, or maybe that's not what God has for you, or I don't know, an accident happens. Like, we just are not guaranteed anything in life. My best friend actually lost her husband at age 28.
They had only been married for a couple years, and she was pregnant with their first child, but he passed away. No one was expecting that. Yeah. We are not guaranteed anything. We deserve death because of our sin. That's what it comes down to. And anything else is grace and mercy and gifts from the Lord. And I'm really passionate about that, because I see a lot of single men and women just living in fear, or living in their own preferences and idolizing those, maybe. So age is one thing. I know there were some questions on the prompts that were about things, some theological things. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's always like political things. Anytime somebody puts like vaxxed or not vaxxed on their dating app, I'm like, nope. If that's so important to you that you're using that to classify women, like, I'm not interested, no matter what your answer is.
Right.
I have definitely ideas and opinions and values and things that are important to me about that. But if we're just going to put that stuff up there, I'm sorry, that shows me that maybe you can't have a conversation about it, or maybe you can't do conflict well. I'm looking for someone that I can fight well with, as in someone that we can have healthy conflict and dialogue back and forth, especially when we disagree.
Mm-hmm.
So things like theology or politics, or there's a thousand things out there that are fascinating to me and interesting in the world. And I really value growth and learning and maturity and the mysteries of God and loving people that don't yet know Jesus and haven't yet heard the good news. Like, none of that can be reduced to any sort of checkbox or stating your preferences up front. I would just rather have a conversation about those things. And I just think we don't talk to one another anymore in this dating app, social media world.
Amen to all of that.
I saw you nodding. It's great.
I'm like, I'm like, I'm just letting you roll, because yes.
There's probably more, but I'm like, oh, I think that thought finally came to an end.
It was a great thought.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So my background is actually in psychology and social work. So I know a lot about gamification. And
yes,
I agree. And like, that's part of the reason why I personally have taken time off the apps and out of the groups and, you know, taking time away from social media. It's hard because part of my current job is social media. So, you know, like, I have to taper that, right? You know, and have a boundary around that. But it's still just, you know, when you're sitting there and you forget that there's other people behind the screen, you know, and I don't know how many times I've seen discussions come up in the group setting, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I mean, yes, there are things that we will disagree on, and there are things that are personal convictions for somebody and not for other people. Mm-hmm. But again, like you said, why can't we have a conversation about it, and a kind conversation about it? You know, because I'm all for being blunt. Like, I love being blunt, but there's still a way to say something that's going to allow that person on the other side to not be triggered and to still feel loved. And yes, again, there's the misinterpretation of text versus voice and, you know, body language and stuff like that. But when you're in that realm, like, how do you, and I'm talking the general you know, like, how do you make sure that you're still representing Christ? And I feel like we all fail at that a lot, especially in those settings when we're upset by something that, you know, somebody said, or we're assuming that somebody said, you know, like, reading their words, we're like, oh, this is what you really meant. But that might not have been what they meant.
You don't even know that person. You don't know their story. You don't know what's behind or underneath some of those things. Yeah. There's so much unknown.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to thank you for sharing your, you know, your personal story around kids and just everything else that went into your journey. You know, I'm in the beginnings of my 30s to mid 30s, and I'm starting to feel that way too. You know, and it's just like, okay. but I still, you know, I'm at this point where personally, I'm like, you still serve a sovereign God, and anything is possible. you know, even at your age, you know, anything is possible. And it's like, I agree that people get too caught up on the age thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating because I've heard it many times, and I'm like, I'm 33, like going to be 34 in a couple of months. But come on. Like, yeah. I literally wanted kids since I was a young teenager.
Yep.
You know, and I'm open to adoption and I'm open to being a stepmom, but that's still that desire to be a mom in some way is always going to be there for me. And I know that it will be. And I have prayed. I'm like, you know what, Lord, like if this is not for me, please take the desire away because it hurts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and but he hasn't. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
I'm just walking along that path then.
Yep.
You know. And but I, again, thank you for sharing that because I haven't yet broached that subject with all of the other women that are like in their later 30s or early 40s or mid 40s yet. With a couple of them we have, but I think it's still so important even for the younger men to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, because hopefully they can change that perspective.
Yeah.
At their younger age. And so they're not going to be, you know, carrying this on, this idea that it all, you have to marry somebody, you know, right. In a certain age bracket. It's like, keep really.
Well, because here's the thing. Let's say you are 45, you're my age, and you're talking about this. Or let's say you're 25 and you're talking about this. If you're not interested in me, that's fine. Not everyone is for everyone. I am totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Met me in person, you know, like, you know enough to know, like, it's fine. But if you're not interested in me, I hope that you would see me as your sister in Christ.
Mm.
And I hope that you would remember that the words that you say do carry weight. Mm-hmm. And another piece of my story is that my mom passed away 10 years ago and my dad passed away 9 years ago. And I have always longed for, yes, a family of my own. And now B, just like family in general.
Yeah.
I live an incredibly lonely life in some ways. And yet I have a vibrant, full life. I have so many friendships. Mm-hmm. And I have found that the imperfect body of Christ is an answer, but it requires a lot of me putting myself up for out there for that. But mm-hmm. I desire family. So that's a whole nother assumption thing is the idea of long distance. I think a lot of times men assume that they can't do long distance or they don't want to do long distance. And do they know that I am literally praying for a family to join, a mother-in-law who will love me and take me under her wing, mm-hmm. a father-in-law that I can have a good joking relationship with? I don't know what that's going to be like. Is it going to be a sports fan? Is it going to be an outdoorsy guy? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what my husband's going to be like either, but I think there's a lot of men out there that are like, I can't do long distance because I can't move. And I'm like, what if the woman would be willing to move? Let's have a conversation about that too.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to say it again, guys. I will move almost anywhere.
And I think we just live in a very connected world these days. And yes, there are exceptions. There are definitely people that cannot move or are unwilling to move. Or maybe if someone has kids of their own, I understand like parenting plans. Like I get all of that. Mm-hmm. There's always room for conversation, I think. And most people that I see on dating apps or whatever love to travel. So at the very least, like, hey, let's meet and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I have no expectation for an ending, but you never know where it can go unless you give it a try.
Yeah, agreed. And so this just brought up a thought. So because I have friends that are in the group who are single parents and, you know, we've had conversations where it's like, okay, I am interested in this person, but either they're a single parent also, or, you know, they like can't necessarily move right this second. So circumstances always happen to where these like talking stages and stuff end because, you know, one or the other is like, oh, well, I don't want to hold you back. And as you were talking, I was just sitting there and I'm like, huh, wait a minute. Ding, 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 ding. Like, are we stopping these talking stages too soon? Because we're assuming that the other person isn't going to want to work it out.
Absolutely. I believe we are. Or is it like, hey, there's probably someone who's a more perfect fit for me out there. No one says that, but I feel like maybe we all think it. Here's another, you know, yes, distance and kids and family. But so like I work in ministry now. I left a traditional career to serve the Lord in ministry. I wonder, it's a question mark, but I wonder if that keeps men from talking to me. Like, oh, I wouldn't want to ask her to give that up. Well, do they know that my organization is worldwide? They might not. Do they know that I am able at this season of my in ministry to design my own job description? No, they probably don't know that. Have we had a conversation about that? No. I honestly, and here's the crazy thing. So along with like dreaming of being a soccer mom, I believe, and this was maybe more in my mid-20s, God gave me a desire to serve in ministry alongside my husband. And I don't know if that's a Rebecca desire. Or if that is truly like what the Lord wants, and maybe he's kept me single this long, so maybe I wouldn't have kids, so that he could continue to grow and shape me and break my heart for what breaks his, to really continue just to serve and be obedient. And yeah, A, like live out my singleness well, but B, I mean, I would like to do that in partnership with someone, because so often you see in the world, there's lots of men in ministry and, you know, they face temptations here or there. There's also like not enough women in ministry. Like I do discipleship with women now, and there's like never enough women, older women, to disciple the younger women. Yes. So I'm like, there's a huge need out there, but I don't know. I think I sense, and I don't know if this is, I wish we could all actually talk about the things that we're all assuming, which is probably why this podcast exists.
Yes.
But I wish that we would just ask and be curious and be willing to pray. Like something you said earlier is just like, are we ending the talking stages too soon? I think we might be. Because in the old days, you only had three people to choose from in your community. And so you prayed and maybe you got to know all of them and, you know, probably you'd marry one of them and your friend would marry another one of them. Like that's just how it went. So I think there was more prayer. There was more trust in God. There was more community in that. And we were just, I don't know. We just persevered more. We talked more. We talked to God more. I think there's an element of prayer lacking in most. Well, that's too much of an assumption. I won't say most men, because that's me not asking and not knowing.
Right.
I just feel like we all dismiss one another, because I know I occasionally do, based on something that's very surface level. And I would just love the opportunity to get to know more people and have more people get to know me. Mm-hmm. I actually experienced a lot of hope during the pandemic, which is interesting, because living alone as a single person was not fun. But what did a lot of us do? We went and found community in some of these online spaces.
Right.
And here's how it was hopeful to me. I connected with probably 10 or 15 or more different men, and had phone calls or video chats with them. And I'm like, yay, we're getting somewhere. This is further than I've gotten like on dating apps or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I was more willing to be open and do that stuff because I knew a little bit more about them in some of these online spaces, where as a dating app is just like, who are you? You could be a stalker. I don't know if I'll be safe with you. My hesitation in meeting somebody a stranger that I haven't met yet online for a date. So these online spaces actually provided a way to sort of observe and get to know someone. And then the phone calls or video chats that we did, because a lot of us were just home for a while because we had to be, gave me so much more hope. And I was just like, okay, there's some godly men out there. Okay, they're willing to like get to know me. Now, did anything come of those things? No, but I also took the sort of rejection, if you will, less personally, because I'm like, oh, they know a little bit about me. They know where to find me. Like I would be open to some of them, not open to others. And that's fine. I found that whole time really encouraging and hopeful. But
I wonder if we've kept some of the online elements of those days, and yet we haven't fully like gone back out in person. Mm. Have real live relationships and conversations with real live people again. And I don't know if phone calls or Zoom chats are happening, but mm-hmm. yeah. So I think that was an interesting season and sort of unexpected for me to find hope out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When so much crazy is happening, you know, yes. That's really, really cool and very encouraging. I don't know if you've listened to the What Men Think series
yet. I have.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Most of them, yes.
Yay. I'm a little behind this week, but it's so funny. I'm like listening to it and each episode I'm like, okay, see, these guys are out here. So like this is kind of my scenario like that, you know?
Yes.
And obviously like he's had a very vast range of men on there, you know, and I'm just like, okay, like this is legit. These guys are, you know, actually present. And I just want to like message him and be like, Bob, where's this dude?
I like that one.
This guy. Can I have a conversation with him?
Number fill in the blank.
Yeah, I know, right? And then some of them have been like the younger guys. It's like not because I want to do anything romantic, you know, like I'm not interested in that. It's like more I want to have a deeper conversation with them because I'm like, how are you this young and this mature? And
I have some wisdom there. Yeah. 25-year-old you.
I know. I was like, excuse me, I have some younger friends.
Yeah. That might help you.
Yeah. May or may not be interested. Where are you looking? Yeah. But you know, it's still just such a great thing that he's doing. And I am loving it so much to be getting these different perspectives from these different guys. I've almost every episode I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea, you know, that this was something that guys thought about, and which has obviously sparked this.
Yep. It's great.
So, yeah. Oh man. Okay. So on this same topic, I kind of wanted to jump into a scenario that I don't think got into the questionnaire that you got because some guys submitted more questions after the fact.
Of course. Great. Sure. Okay. Let's talk about it.
All right. So scenario. Yes. A guy friend of yours expressed interest or states he wants to get to know you more, but you aren't interested. How do you handle this? This is from an actual friend. So he says, as a guy, I have had multiple friends pull away or completely disappear without a word. And I'm wondering if it's a boundary thing, a protect your heart thing, or a fear of mutual connection thing. And he says, thanks, ladies.
Could you state the question again?
Yeah. So he was saying, like, how do you handle whether like a guy actually expresses interest or just says like, hey, I'm interested in getting to know you, but doesn't necessarily say like, hey, I think of you romantically, just kind of like, you know, what is it? Like, I like having conversation with you. Can we get to know each other some more? You know, but then he asks like, how do you handle that? Like, if you're not really interested in that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's basically the question.
I think my answer will depend on how we met. And I say that in air quotes.
Right.
If I know nothing about you, but you message me that you're interested and I know that I'm not interested, like immediately, mm-hmm. I'll admit I still even sometimes now will ignore some of those messages. If there's no context, we don't have an established relationship or conversation at all. Like I get some, yeah, I think men need to know that women get all sorts of messages yeah. from people that they're like, who are you? Like, mm-hmm. I think that this is a scam profile even, or, you know, there's bad grammar. Yes, there's grace for bad grammar. But what I'm saying is like, sometimes I'm like, I don't believe that someone is who their pictures say that they are. Mm. And I think men need to know that women get all these contacts. Oftentimes I'll get like one or two or more followers a day on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That look like these types of profiles that I'm just a little bit leery of because I feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing that men need to know is that a lot of women feel unsafe or taken off guard. And I will even say the second part, taken off guard, by, let's say I might recognize your name because if we are in like the same Facebook group and I recognize your name, but I'm not interested. If you just like say something like, I've seen you online and I'd like to get to know you more. I'm like, I'm a little bit like, what have you been observing of me? Like, I think sometimes maybe my rejection of someone comes across as like, you've just shocked and surprised me. And I feel a little bit unsafe or uncomfortable right now. And so sometimes the approach, it's how it's done, might affect the way that I answer. So those are a couple of like scenarios if I didn't know the person at all, if I didn't know the guy at all. If let's say, you know, we've commented back and forth on a post, like I probably know who you are. I've probably checked out your profile. Like if I'm going to comment on a guy's post, I've probably checked out his profile. Also to see like, is he 25? Cause I don't want to be like commenting or liking a bunch of like 25 year old men's posts. Like that's just, I don't want to be inappropriate. So sometimes me checking out your profile is just to be like, would I have a shot with you? Would you be interested in me? But if we've like commented back and forth and I'm not interested again, I know that's the question. I would write a message back and be like, oh, you know, I've enjoyed our online interactions, but I just don't think that we are a fit. And here's the other piece that I really want men to hear. In my mind, there's three categories of guys. There's not interested at all. Definitely interested if you even give me the slightest time of day or like one of my posts. And then there's this actually really large middle ground of, I'd be curious about you. I need to know more. And to be honest, I want to say probably 60% of guys would go in that middle category for me personally. That I would be willing to have a conversation. And if you were not, if you did not say something like, I've been noticing your profile and I find you so beautiful and I want to get to know you more. Don't say that, by the way. Like, hey, I really liked what you posted and I'd be curious to get to know you more. And you were in that middle 60% category for me. I would probably entertain that. Now, here's what I want, especially guys to hear also, if we are going back and forth and I haven't like turned you down and you continue to message, like if I am continuing to reply to your messages or ask, if I'm asking you questions, you need to be asking for my phone number. You need to be scheduling a time for a video chat. You need to, if we're like local, like suggesting a meetup, because if like you can tell if there's mutual interest there. I do believe there's probably a good timing for that. And I think that's changed over the years. So that makes it really confusing for guys. Like right now, I think my ideal timing was like back and forth, maybe a couple of days. And that doesn't have to be consistently through those couple days. Just like I had someone reach out to me in a Facebook group recently after I posted something and we went back and forth a little bit and like he dropped it. I feel like he dropped it. Like I would be willing to like continue that. I'm not certain that I'm interested, but it's also not like a completely closed door. That's where I think, again, back to your point of, are we stopping talking too soon? But I think in some cases, like the friend, the question that your friend asked, I don't want to continue carrying that. Like, let's take this to a new level. I just think we all get really busy too, or distracted, or we're often on social media in between things in our real life. And so we should give one another the benefit of the doubt of suggesting that next thing. So to your friend, I would say, thank you for doing that. I don't know how he's doing that. So that's where even I would be like, hey, do you want to practice on me? Because I could give you some feedback on how this might land or is landing with women that you'd really like a chance with. Because oftentimes I think that there is something in the way that men come across that's off-putting to women if they're not shocked or surprised by the initial, like, how long have you been checking me out? Like, and I don't know, that just, it feels a little bit like you've been watching my house. And I mean, I thought that, but I don't know. I don't know the scenario, but my heart really does go out to men who maybe get turned down a lot. And I just think there's probably something there that they don't know. And it might not be for women to tell them what that is, to be honest.
Ooh.
I've had some interactions with some men and had to draw some pretty firm boundaries and even block some people on social media when they fail to abide by the boundaries that I've asked them for. Mm-hmm. Not because I feel unsafe, but I'm just like, you didn't actually hear what I said. Mm. And I'm thinking of a couple of people in particular, like, and I see a lack of community. There's some men that have a lack of community. They are maybe aren't super involved in church or don't have like a men's group or a small group or don't know pastors or local leaders, or maybe they don't have friends. And so they're looking for a woman and to a woman to fulfill their desires for connection, which is a good and beautiful thing. But in the cases, if you're turned down a lot, I think that's the question that I would ask is, who's your real life community? Like, do you have a guy friend who's married, whose maybe wife could give you some feedback on your approach or on how you're asking or what you look like or how you come across, or if there's anything that you could work on? Because sometimes there are things that we can improve on ourselves. Other times, like for me, it's my age. I'm like, I can't change that. There's right. Nothing I can do to make that different. I can enhance it. I can live a full and joyful life. But that's reality. So I think there's a lot of things that a lot of us can do to make ourselves better and keep growing and improving. But my heart goes out to, there are men out there that just are really lonely mm-hmm. and seeking community, seeking fellowship, seeking a woman, but maybe continually getting met by those turndowns as well. So I don't know what this man's experience actually is or his approach is, but I think my encouragement to any guys out there that are ever getting those answers is like, ask some female friends, even some female friends in a group, like some of the ones that we're a part of, like do practice dates, like mm-hmm. just be brave and do it. And if you call it practice and everyone knows that there's no interest out there, you're going to get some feedback if you're open to it. Now that's a brave thing. That's like me asking my best friend of like, what areas do you see that I could grow in? Like,
yeah,
but it's like the opposite sex, which is even, it's crazier, but are you up for it? Because a relationship and marriage is about those hard conversations. And so I'm looking for a man who's up for having, like we talked about earlier, those hard conversations.
Yeah.
Conflict, well, disagreement, frustration, emotion, passion, value differences, convictions. Like, how do you handle that? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question, but those are a lot of thoughts.
They were a lot of thoughts. They were good thoughts.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know, because he and I had a conversation about this, and I think his struggle was that these were like legit friendships, and that he had spent the time developing friendships with a couple of women, and he didn't say necessarily that he was like, hey, I'm interested in like dating you. It was just like, hey, like, let's get to know each other better to be like better friends. Right. But then these individual women just basically ghosted him and just disappeared from his life, you know? And so that's why he was like asking this question. Cause he's like, I want to know what it is. Like, is it me? Or is it like this sense that I like worded something wrong? Or, you know, is it a boundary thing? Because they might assume that, you know, I have more feelings for them than I did, you know, that kind of thing. And so I was kind of like, I don't know, dude, I wasn't involved in that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll ask the ladies and see what they say.
Yeah. I think I saw a lot of that when I was in my younger years too. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm that much further along, but I just know, like, I've actually had several conversations with several friends where I've expressed interest in the man and they're not interested. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to really be in touch with my heart and what my boundaries need to be to keep up that friendship or relationship, and also asked the same of them. And I think in our 20s or maybe 30s, or I mean, who can put an age on maturity? Like, maybe we don't have that either self-awareness or willingness to communicate those things, or just don't want to hurt someone further. So I think it's just, it's a really complex scenario. But I do think maturity does, it gets better. I would probably still encourage that friend of like, yeah, how are you seeking to grow in your life? Like, how can you become an even better catch for the next woman that you express interest in? And, you know, that could be anything from the physical to the mental, emotional, spiritual. I don't know, guys that are working on themselves in any of those ways are attractive.
Very attractive.
I mean, and that sometimes looks aside. Like if a guy is really like working on himself in all of those ways and humble about it, and I'm a friend of his, like I will give him a second look. I will do a double take. I'll be like, glow up right now, like this is you 2.0, like I'm interested, I'm curious.
Yes. I agree. Like when a guy's like getting their stuff together, I'm just like, hi.
And granted, I don't want the guys to hear like, you don't have to be perfect.
Yes. Yes.
In fact,
yes.
I don't want perfect because I am not perfect. Mm-hmm. I want someone to grow alongside with, because that's going to be my whole life. And that's what I'm looking for. And so I want you to be looking for that too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah. Guys, we don't want perfect, so stop believing that lie. For me personally, what I mean when I say that, like a guy's getting their stuff together, right? It's being self-aware that they're not perfect. Yeah. And they are taking steps to find a mentor if they don't have one already, have an accountability partner, you know, maybe not being in the word every day because we're all imperfect, but like taking steps to have the accountability to try to be in the word every day. You know what I'm saying? Just those kinds of things. And to me, I'm like, okay, that sends you from like this level of attraction to, okay, we're way up here now.
Yeah.
You know,
you're also in a select group because it doesn't seem like there's too many of you in that group. So
yeah.
Less competition. If you think it's a competition, it's like not. You'll just blow them all out of the water.
Exactly. Because it's like we are all on dating apps and we're in these groups and like we're all experiencing this different struggle with dating currently in today's culture. And, you know, so a guy who is starting to take steps above this pool of individuals that we're constantly being thrown, we're not interested in for various reasons, you're going to automatically be so much more attractive because of that. So that's just do something about it.
Well, and that's some of where I've been growing myself too. Like if God never has someone for me, which I believe he does because he hasn't taken away my desires either for marriage. I'm like, I keep asking him to take that desire away and he hasn't and he doesn't. But I want to live a very fruitful life. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to live fully. So I'm not growing to be more attractive, although that's a side benefit. I know I'm growing to live a full life right now because I'm happier, I'm healthier. And I believe it's pleasing to the Lord to steward the days that I've been given to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh man, this has been a good conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's so much to talk about. I'm like, there's so much more, but I'm really grateful. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful too. I'm just like, I don't even know where God is going to take this, but I'm excited for the ride.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being faithful and obedient. And I just, that was the whole point that I started with and still have so many more thoughts on. We all just need to talk to one another more.
Yes.
And maybe less texting or DMing, if I'm being honest. Like, let's have actual phone conversations when you feel safe and ready for that. Mm-hmm. Here's my other thought for your friend about that question too. I wonder if he waited too long to ask these women friends. I don't know. I think some guys can wait too long.
Ooh, that's
maybe a conversation for another day, but
yeah,
I've had guy friends that just end up in my friend zone because I just know them too well. And there's nothing more that I need to or want to get to know. But if they had asked sooner, then maybe I'd have said yes.
That's a valid point. That's a very valid point.
Just think the timing is like, well, we got to be praying more about all of this, right? Like, mm-hmm. And have courage and take steps. Yeah. I know we're wrapping up. I was thinking about the What Men Think podcast. And I think one of the nuggets that I am still thinking about is some gentleman said that there's two types of daters out there. The ones that date to get to know people and the ones that want to get to know someone before they date.
Yes.
I think women are the same, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a safety comfort level for us that I think men don't have. Mm-hmm. But I think that really helped me understand why on the app, some guys are initially like, let's meet. And I'm like, I don't even know if you can hold a conversation or if we have anything in common. Mm-hmm. And then other guys just message and message and message forever or like observe online in some of these forums. So again, I know we're wrapping up, but those are some additional thoughts that I had. And I just think it's helpful for people to know people have different expectations, which means we all need to be asking or talking or being clear on our own expectations.
Hey, look, at communication has come back around again, y'all.
Once again.
Look at that. I have talked about communication in almost every interview.
Love it. Hey guys, free tip. If there's a communication course out there, you should take it. That's a great first step. Everyone will benefit from that in your life, I bet.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. Because I personally have been working on it myself. And because I've always said I'm an over-communicator, but then somebody recently said you can't over-communicate. And I was like, okay, that's true. You can, there's different levels of how you communicate, right? And I'm like, okay, true. You know, but that process of like, okay, when I've realized somebody's not a communicator, how am I going to communicate my needs to them as far as like, I need more communication, you know, and like, what does that look like? And so that's definitely something I'm personally working on.
Yeah. Good for you. That's great. Yeah. Well, and I think we all need to remember part of communication is listening mm-hmm. and asking good questions. Mm-hmm. So how can we learn how to do that better?
Yep.
I don't know. Practice. DMing and texting doesn't lead to a lot of listening. So yes, practice.
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 Yeah. Jump on a phone call. And that, like, so I've mentioned this in other episodes too so far, but like taking the pressure off and just being like, hey, I want to get to know you better. Or, you know, like, hey, can we practice, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which group it was last year, but there was like this whole thing that a bunch of people were pushing to like do practice dates and stuff, but it never really went anywhere, which was kind of frustrating. And I'm like, yes, this is a thing. How else are we going to get to the point of learning all these different ways to communicate? And yeah, like it's important to do that.
Yep. I agree.
So any guys out there want to do practice dates, let us know. I will soon have 100 women probably willing to do that. That's right. Some older and some younger.
Hey, you have a good pool of variety of women to choose from.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for taking the time to fill out the questionnaire and sit with me and have this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I look forward to whatever it is this is going to become.
Me too. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.